This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1, 3, and 7-day passes. Watch The Chase for the Cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.
Hello and welcome aboard Gallant and George on a Friday. Got to get down on Friday from one of our favorite spots here in Houston with the best view of Houston skyline in the city, bar none. We are in the River House at East River 9, a really fun par 3 9-hole golf course, which also has pickleball. And this weekend, we're going to be watching the U.S. Open. The TVs are about to flip to it. We have a watch party all weekend where kids play free when accompanied by a paid adult every single Sunday. And you can go to eastriver9.com to book a tee time pickleball court or sign up for their annual membership. I always enjoy coming out here. Harkens back, Joe George, to memories of Game 5 of the ALCS. The last moment.
When times were good.
Where the Houston Astros brought us happiness.
It feels like forever ago. I hope that one day we can be back to that moment. One day we can be here with the listeners and all of us together cheering Jose Altuve take down a team in the playoffs. But right now we're still just trying to crawl the 500, Paul.
I'm trying to manifest some positive energy this weekend. I haven't downloaded Instagram back on my phone yet, for those who don't know. I used to be addicted to Instagram, and I've just taken it off my phone. But I have a couple of friends that I like following, and one of them who I love, she's a beautiful woman, but good God almighty, she's basic. She likes to talk about manifesting positive energy, positive vibes, and I feel like we have to do that. But I'm having a hard time doing that, Joe, because if we were aliens from another planet and we somehow understood the Arabic numeral system, we would take a look at this weekend's upcoming series against the Detroit Tigers for the Astros. Removing the 7 straight ALCS appearances, the 4 World Series appearances, the 2 World Series titles, Houston is 31-38, and the Tigers, with A.J. Hinch the skipper, are 33-35. So we'll start off with the numbers there. The Tigers have a better record than you, the Detroit Tigers.
They do, and while you're sitting there, I think one of the parts of this series that I find fascinating, now look, money is a big part of this, Paul, but you have two teams with first basemen that mean so much to them. Jose Abreu to the Astros, Spencer Torkelson, who was one time slated as the best prospect in baseball.
What a name.
They sent him back to the minors a couple weeks ago. He might even be back with the team now. I'm not totally sure. But they were so done with this kid that they sent him back to the minors because they're like, eh, he's not performing well. While the Astros are giving us nonsense timeline talk relentlessly about Jose Abreu. It doesn't matter who it's from. It's like the new buzzword that they're giving us. Timeline. Internal timeline.
Joe is referring to something that Joe Espada, manager of the Houston Astros, told the Astros flagship yesterday. There is a timetable for Jose Abreu, but said timeline is internal. They're not sharing it with us. I got to say, though, as we try to manifest some positive energy with all of the numbers, if you look at this series, not knowing about baseball history, pointing in the Tigers' favor, that is a positive sign. There is a timeline. We just don't know it. I would like to hear them say that there's a timeline as opposed to just assuming they're going to keep trying to make this work until the very end of the season.
Dell lost his phone, so I'm trying to help him find it currently. Dell put his phone in my backpack.
Wow.
Yeah, so no, Dell, it's not in here. I apologize. Do you find that this series is one that can give you hope?
No.
So if they sweep the series, it means nothing to you?
It means nothing. They should have swept the series against the Giants. They should have swept the series against the Angels. To me, at this point, I'm looking at this series, and again, I'm trying to manifest this positive energy, but Dell losing his phone is interrupting all that.
Sorry, Paul.
Hunter Brown, his numbers, 2-5 with a 5.58 ERA. He's pitching better, But the Tigers pitcher tonight, some guy named Tariq Skubal, is 8-1 with a 1.92 ERA.
He's been awesome this
year. Assuming he's an all-star already based off of those numbers and a potential Cy Young Award candidate. Then you take a look at Justin Verlander's numbers. Okay, Verlander's having a decent season, definitely not by Verlander's standards a good one, but all right, you take it. 3-2 with a 3.95 ERA. Jack Flaherty, someone named that, very basic 90s-sounding baseball name, 3-4 with a 3.22 ERA. So, I mean, you are the team with the worst pitching matchup in the first two games of this series before Spencer Arrigueta, he takes on Kenta Maeda, who I guess is now a starting pitcher for the Tigers.
I didn't realize that.
Life comes at you fast. I'm just looking at this series, all the numbers, where the Astros are clearly a worse team than the Tigers based off of numbers, where they're 8 games behind Seattle in the AL West and 6 games out of the last wild card spot. I'm just looking for something to some way, somehow make me feel good going into the series. But
all right, here we go.
Hit me.
Hunter Brown, in his last 4 starts, has given up only 3 earned runs once. Hunter Brown, since last month, since May, has only given up 4 earned runs or 3 earned runs or more twice in those starts. So Hunter Brown has been much, much better. His last start, 6 innings, 0 earned runs. The one before that, 6 innings, 3 earned runs. 1 earned run, 2 earned run. So he's turning around.
Okay.
The bad Hunter Brown has not really shown up since May 5th. He's been good all of May and the first 2 starts of this month. The last time he was a disaster was April 30th. He gave up 6 earned runs to the Cleveland Guardians. So that was quite a while ago. I mean, you look at stuff earlier in the season. It's 5 earned runs, 9 earned runs, 2, 3, 6 earned runs. So Hunter Brown, while the ERA looks terrible, since the start of May, when May 1st hit, he had an 8.89 ERA. It's down to a 5.58.
Hell yeah.
So a positive 5.
I mean, that second
Hunter
number
Brown,
is still high.
It's still very high, but it's inflated because of some really, really, really bad starts. I mean, one of those, Paul, he gave up 9 earned runs against the Royals. He got 2 outs. So that's part of the reason why at that point his ERA was 16.43. So, you know, Hunter Brown is on the upswing.
Okay. That's at least one positive sign. And you know what? Detroit's coming to town. You know where Hunter Brown's from? Mm.
Detroit! Hometown kid.
For real.
Turn the season around versus
run,
the Tigers.
Rabbit, run. You know, he's going to go up there, and this is his one shot for the rest of the year against Detroit. We don't want to see no Mama Spaghetti. We want the recent Hunter Brown, not Mama Spaghetti Hunter Brown, which we saw in that game against the Royals. So we're trying to manifest positive energy for this series, where the Astros are underdogs against the Tigers. Just based off of numbers, I'm going to become numbers guy. Based off of numbers, they're the underdogs. They shouldn't be, but they are.
Vegas says they're still the favorite. They're a minus 120 money line tonight.
I don't know what that means, but I'm assuming that means
it means
the
that if they win and you to bet on it, you have to bet $120 to win $100.
Okay,
so they're still favored in this game, not by much, but they are favored. So positive vibes.
More positive vibes.
Vegas says Astros better.
More positive vibes. How about this? Jim Bowden, the MLB insider, said that both Mets first baseman Pete Alonso and Cardinals first baseman Paul Goldschmidt could be up for grabs at baseball's trade deadline, with the Astros interested in both. Also, I guess the Mariners are potentially interested in Pete Alonso. So we hear Joe Espada mentioning a timetable for Jose Abreu that's internal. You've also got potential replacements on the trade market that have expiring contracts and shouldn't be that hard to get.
Yeah, Paul, I want positive vibes. Those guys are big names and give me positive vibes, but Paul Goldschmidt's the same age as Jose Abreu. No, we saw when they played the Cardinals, he played some great defense, but he's been not good this year.
No, Paul Goldschmidt, he's better than Jose Abreu. He has to be.
No, that's a fact. Pete Alonso better than Jose Abreu.
He has to be.
I mean, it's not really that hard.
Really?
It's really not that challenging.
It's not hard at all. I'm sure there are, I don't know, Astros minor leaguers, Joey Loperfido, who are better at first base and as a hitter and as an athlete than Jose Abreu. But, hey, you know, the positive vibes. Ryan Presley, there's an article in the Houston Chronicle, and it's about how Ryan Presley's bad luck is the reason that things have not been going so well for him. But in that article, Presley also acknowledged it's not all bad luck, which I like. I hate it when pitchers say, you know, my stuff was good, and then they got shelled and maybe chased out of a game after one out.
You can say, like, after one game, once you have a sample size, luck goes out the window. Like, there's a certain point where even as a player, you have to admit that, like, you can't really use luck. But, yeah, the articles, it's pretty clear. Like, if you read it in the Cron, it gives you positive vibes that Ryan Presley's not terrible. That he's just unlucky.
Yeah.
And the luck of the Irish, as the Celtics win a championship tonight, will rub off on Ryan Presley and give him good luck.
I mean, I hope so. Listen, he should do an outing. I got, in honor of every single Celtics victory in these finals, I have three green bead necklaces on. One is a Bud Light one. Read that how you may. One is a Guinness one. And one doesn't have anything on it. I got my Celtics shirt. I got my green shorts on. I mean, I look like I'm about to get in a fight with somebody if he were to say anything mildly offensive about Tom Brady, which apparently Dell did at 11:08.
Oh, the good thing he lost his phone.
A good thing that Sean Mapes was there to defend Tom Brady's honor. Patrick Mahomes going to overtake him as the GOAT? I don't know. Go undefeated in the regular season.
Ooh.
Tell your teammates that going offsides is bad. Stop them from bringing in blood diamonds for their new Super Bowl rings.
Yeah, what's that about, Paul?
John Singleton writes a texter, getting promoted by the Astros organization for the All-Star game while the Astros are pushing Abreu to play sums this season up for me.
Yeah.
That's not a positive vibe, sir.
John Singleton, All-Star.
John Singleton as an All-Star? Yeah.
I mean, look, like, the movie's gonna, if he makes an All-Star team, the movie gets even better. like the John Singleton biopic that comes out, you know, like, hopefully they get someone that plays with him on, like, the Clippers series or the, what's his name? The guy who's playing Doc Rivers looks nothing like him. But, you know, the John Singleton movie gets better if he makes the All-Star
team.
Yeah. That's what the Astros are trying to push.
The 2024 Astros are really just a John Singleton biopic.
Yeah. Like, what's gone wrong?
Is it a biopic or a biopic?
I think it depends on who says it.
Probably biopic. Whatever the case.
I think I say biopic.
This is...
You might be right.
This is the best, I think, thing going on for the Astros this year. And, yeah, as the Texter said, they keep on putting Jose Abreu in over him. I saw something on Astros Reddit, Joe, and I've totally fell for it because this season has been what it's been. Somebody posted that the Astros had put out a vote Jose Abreu for All-Star tweet to try to get people to vote for him.
Yeah.
And put up his statistics as well. It was a bad Photoshop. I should have known it was a bad Photoshop right away. But they are actually doing it for Jose Abreu, and I'm sure that the mentions have not been particularly for Singleton. And I'm sure that the mentions have all involved Jose Abreu.
I mean, look, it's I wish organizations, like, you want to promote your guys and try to give him an All-Star. First of all, John Singleton's not good enough to be an All-Star. And you just open yourself up to criticism. I think rightfully so when you put that out there. Like you're kind of embarrassing yourself. When everyone's telling you how bad Jose Abreu is, you clearly know. Like, what we've heard from the last 2 days on the flagship from Espada and Dana Brown is, like, they're fully aware of how bad Jose Abreu is. And it's become more and more evident that they just don't have a choice. That they are being forced into a position that they do not want to be, and they're stuck. And maybe John Singleton making the All-Star game, like, is the final nail in the coffin for Jose Abreu? Like, is that what wakes up Jim Crane? So maybe we should all vote for John Singleton.
On YouTube at ESPN Houston, the TX Guru says, I voted for Jose Abreu as an All-Star, hoping it would get him rolling. Did not work. Okay, well, you can vote a bunch of times. Yeah, we're starting right here. The Golan and George Radio Show.
Well, I don't know if I want to be a part of this.
June 14th, 2024. Joe, you gotta sign off on something. If you're not gonna co-sign C.J. Stroud needing to STFU like Jason Braddock said, you gotta co-sign at the very least. You're the one who just presented this to the table. John Singleton to the All-Star game.
All right, John Singleton, yes.
Yeah.
You said Jose Abreu.
I keep on confusing the two
I know.
Of them.
That's what I was worried about.
John Singleton to the All-Star game. Let's make it happen.
I've spent most of my All-Star votes already, I feel like. I am...
What, do they check your IP address?
I don't know.
Get a VPN.
I'm trying to support former Astros and my friends back home that are miserable human beings.
Oh, I know.
And I have joined the support for voting in with a .078 batting average, Martin Maldonado to the All-Star game.
Vote in Maldonado.
Vote in Abreu.
Vote in Abreu.
Let's go.
As a write-in, and vote in Singleton.
Yeah, like, let's just get them all in there.
If you want...
Let's just hand it to the National League.
I really feel, the more I think about it, Joe, and with you saying what's going on in Chicago, the more I think about it, like, something's really going to have to embarrass Jim Crane for... I feel like any real change, or to get him to a point where he's going to spend more money than he's paying this year. And I don't really know what to do other than what you just said, because the guy's essentially hiding from any person who might ask him a question about what's going on. It is Galan and George. We are at East River 9 all day long. Make sure you come out. We're watching the U.S. Open on the many TVs inside the River House. Fantastic air conditioning, a great bar, but you can also go play a nine-hole course of par three golf. There's a watch party all weekend. Kids play free when accompanied by a paid adult every Sunday, and you can go book tee times at eastriver9.com. Coming up next, we are still looking for people to manifest positive Astros energy, but say you just can't figure it out. How long would you last on the lam? Because last night, somebody in Houston escaped custody and was on the run for, I want to say, about 8 to 9 hours. We will discuss how long either of us would last on the lam next. It is Galan and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
If you're considering on running on the lam, this is what I'll tell you. You got to be in shape. You got to be able to run for long distances. Think of it like a cross-country race. I don't know if this guy goes to the gym or not, but if he did, well, maybe not O Athletic, but, you know, he should go to the gym. You should go to O Athletic, though. You can check him out, 767 North Shepherd, oathletic.com. They got trainers that you can use on a weekly basis, and you can set up your own schedules with them as well. So if you want to use a trainer one day a week, kind of like what I'm doing right now, you want to do 2, 3, 4, 5 days, you can do that. I see people in there working with the same trainer every single day when I go. I was with my trainer Cam yesterday. I'm feeling the burn a little bit today. One of those days where I feel like I can't lift my arms above my head. But that's okay. That means you got a good workout in. And you should get one in too. OAthletic, OAthletic.com. Check them out in the Heights at 767 North Shepherd. And tell them that Joe George sent you by.
Come hang with us at East River 9. We're here. The Killer Bees are going to be here. There's a U.S. Open watch party all weekend. You can book a tee time at eastriver9.com. And also, don't forget, June 27th, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 night at the Sugarland Space Cowboys game. You can get tickets for $9.25 entering promo code ESPN925. Watch the future of the Astros or injured Astros and see if anyone's going to throw out a terrible first pitch. I am supposedly going to throw a first pitch.
Yep.
I'm excited about that. You can also come to East River 9 since it is a Friday. I would encourage you not to get us shots. I don't want to go full masshole mode before tonight's basketball game because, Joe, I got to get back in my Larry Bird Celtics jersey, which I will be wearing out sleeveless, probably with sunglasses at night. I want to get in a good pump so that my arms look as big as they possibly
good
can.
Good call.
They're twigs before I put that thing on.
How are you feeling about tonight? You feel like you're going to sweep tonight?
Knowing this team, I do not feel 100% comfortable in the sweep.
Man.
Well, I mean, listen.
I know, Jason Tatum hasn't played that good, and they're up 3-0.
They, last year, had a 3-0 series deficit against the Heat, and they rallied back from it. But I feel like that could very well happen the other way around. I feel like Luka's going to wake up tonight, especially after even Brian Windhorst is calling him out, you know?
Yeah. I still can't believe that happened. Like, it's still such a bizarre, because it's kind of out of character for Windhorst.
I guess he does it every now and then, but it's very rare.
Yeah.
And I think it's rare because for a lot of the guys who are reporters, you want to butter the bread, you know?
Yeah.
And they very rarely, because they don't want to lose access, are ever going to criticize a player while doing journalism.
But yeah, he'll never get access now. He'll never break a Luka story ever.
I mean, Luka deserved that. I feel like the big problem with basketball players, and maybe all athletes, but basketball players more than any, I feel like self-awareness is at an all-time zero among NBA players.
Yes, I very much agree.
Yes, they all believe in themselves. They all have confidence. They all think they're the best player in the league. But I don't know, every now and then you should look at yourself in the mirror, and I think that's one of the great things we've seen with Jaylen Brown in this series. Jaylen Brown couldn't dribble left-handed last year. He's gotten so much better on that side of things this year. He's the Celtics' best player. Everyone wants to talk about Jason Tatum and all that stuff. No, Brown's their best player. He got better from one year to the next. Self-awareness, guys, it's key in life. So, Joe, there's a story that I saw yesterday. I shared it on our text line. There's a write-up about it at KHOU, the headline. Inmate who escaped after court, and of course a pop-up comes up because these TV websites are terrible, after court appearance in downtown Houston back in custody, Nigel Thomas Sanders, 35, was able to escape after being brought back to jail after his court appearance. Joe, from what I understand, somehow he found a knife. He held a DA office staffer at knife point, went from downtown to the east side, carjacked a woman. That car crashed. He ran into the bayou.
Oh.
They did eventually get him. No one got hurt. No one died. So we can talk about this and have a little bit of fun with it. How long do you think he would last on the lam?
So he was on the lam for just under 12 hours?
That's what it seems like.
It looks like?
Yes.
I think I could last longer than 12 hours.
You think you could last longer than 12? Okay.
Yeah.
What would be the biggest key?
Well, see, if I didn't rob someone of their car, I couldn't hotwire a car.
You can't hotwire a car?
No. So transportation would definitely be the biggest issue.
You probably wouldn't be able to Uber because I'm assuming you're not going to have a cell phone.
Yeah.
And you're not going to have a wallet to call a cab either. Houston cabs are impossible to get as it is anyway. So
yeah. Also, like, if this happened, you know, started during the day, you're going to hit a lot of traffic. So, like, you're probably best on foot leaving downtown. There's also really nowhere to go downtown. I think I can last. Huh.
He shouldn't have gone east. He should have gone north.
Yeah.
There's
the real question is, like, how good of friends do you have?
Well, he had two good friends because they both got arrested.
Yeah.
He had two people try to help him out here.
Yeah, I think I could last longer than 12 hours.
Than 12? Okay.
How much past that? I'm not totally sure.
You don't have full face tattoos.
That does help.
And you and I feel like being small would help you, Joe.
Yes, but slowish.
Well, especially after a day at O Athletic.
Yeah, I don't have like elite speed here, you know.
But if you get to the point where you're running away, I mean, you're doomed. So that's where the cars are going to surround you. The helicopter
yeah.
is going to come in. No, you got to be sneaky.
Yeah, I feel like he probably brought too much attention to himself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, with the face tattoos, it hurts him. Where, like, I can just try to steal a change of clothes and just start walking downtown, and I might be okay.
How are you going to steal the change of clothes? Are you going to go Arnold Schwarzenegger in Terminator 2 and
I'll
say...
I'll like a Macy's.
Okay.
Or something like that.
But again, you need... You got to get into the Macy's, and I don't think there's any downtown Macy's.
There's got to be some clothing shop downtown I can get into.
I don't know, man.
And there's really not, now that I think about it.
Houston doesn't have a lot of downtown shops.
I could sneak into the Astros store. That's open all the time.
Is it open all the time?
I think so. At least when he escaped, it was open.
Honestly, that probably would be a good bet.
Steal some Astros gear. Just look like an everyday Astros fan. Like, I think that would help.
Yeah, it would help a little bit.
Yeah. How about you, Paul? How long are you lasting?
I mean, the big key would be knowing where to go. And I would go north. That would be the first thing. I know downtown Houston just enough to know how to get around. Getting into the Heights, I think, would be the keyest part. Because, are they going to be looking around there? Maybe I want to go to where I used to live when I first moved back here. That would be a hike. But I am 100% just running north. And I'm going as far as I possibly can. I feel like I eventually would get caught because, like, I can't really hide. I'm too pasty.
Yeah,
I glow in the dark.
Yeah. So you're over under 12 hours? You think you're okay over 12?
No, under. 100%
under?
No, I would get annoyed and be like, well, at least there's a, you know, a bed and air conditioning.
I mean, here's the thing, Paul. Like, you
allegedly.
You are a radio star, so people would probably just recognize you.
I'm not a radio star, but I do occasionally get recognized. So that would perhaps hurt me.
Like, hey, Paul, aren't you supposed to be in jail right now?
I don't know. Virginia Buttonweed suggests go to one of those homeless helping places for clothes.
That's good.
The person who hit and ran my car last summer went to a Chili's, and he fled on foot.
Huh.
Now, he wasn't, you know, I mean, whenever there's a hit and run in Houston with an uninsured motorist, let's be honest, the cops aren't exactly putting that at the top of the docket.
Now, like, so, okay, so you are on the run, but you need to grab a bite to eat.
Highway Cantina? They would
Highway Cantina.
In. They might get arrested for that, but.
But, like, there's a lot of good hiding spots there. Get some nice fajitas. I was like, just in case you get caught.
There are a couple of restaurants that are all in the Highway Cantina area.
Yeah.
There's a pizza place. There's like a little. There's an area where you can hear live music and stuff.
I mean, you could, like, all you need to do is, like, find a night when there's no one at the comedy club there and just, like, go sit in the crowd.
Just open mic.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm in a convict outfit as a bit.
Yeah.
It's a bit.
It's a bit. Like, it's like no one would know the difference.
Yeah. It would be hard. It must have been so, I mean, not so easy, but it must have been relatively easy to go on the run back in, like, the 40s and 50s. I don't know how you do it in the age of internet and cameras everywhere.
It feels like it's impossible.
Yeah, especially when you got face tattoos.
Yeah, I mean, the face tattoos, like, that's why you don't get face tattoos. I guess, like, you know, interviewing for jobs.
There's so many reasons to not get face tattoos.
Yeah, like, there's a jillion. What are the reasons to get one?
A great question. I don't know.
Like,
I've never understood
because there's people, like, who are not criminals who have face tattoos.
Yeah, obviously.
And I don't understand why.
But I don't get why you would get it.
Yeah.
Unless is it a part of, like, who you are? Like, are you from tattoo culture? Like, maybe if you're a tattoo artist, that's really it, though. If you're giving Dak Prescott an 11-hour anesthesia and then inking up his leg?
Because, like, then it's your brand, right? Like your brand is being a tattoo artist. So I get the idea behind doing it then, and you obviously have, like, a untraditional job. If you get it, you better have a job that's not normal.
Yeah,
a lawyer can walk in face tats, representing someone with face tats, and be taken seriously.
I mean, you would probably corner the criminals with face tats market if you, too, have face tats. They're like, oh, he gets me. He's going to understand how to defend me.
Mm, so it's like Better Call Saul.
Yeah.
Because he's a criminal. He understood what his clients were going through.
You could just, like, tattoo on his face. I will represent people with face tattoos. All right. It is Gallant and George. We are live at East River 9. Come on out. You can register for a tea time at eastriver9.com. We're going to be here all afternoon. Coming up next, Trevor Lawrence got paid. We all think that C.J. Stroud is better than Lawrence already. Right? You can answer that. 713-780-3776 to call, to text. Join us on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975 or YouTube at ESPN Houston. Stick around. We're going to be here until 6. Go to eastriver9.com to book yourself a tea time. And guess what? There's a U.S. Open watch party all weekend long. There's also a pickleball court, big screen TV outside, all sorts of TVs in here at the River House. Come hang with us. We're having some drinks. Wrap up your week on a Friday. Got to get down on Friday. We did have a couple of comments in regard to our last segment. We were talking face tats. Joe, a texter, writes, I think if you get a face tat, you have a higher chance of becoming a rapper.
That's true. It does help you.
It seems like the bar that you have to clear to be a rapper in 2024 is pretty low.
Uh-huh.
Because, I mean, I don't think you really need to do all that much. You just have to sound whiny and auto-tune it.
Yeah.
And it seems to work.
You don't, like, we could do what Darren Waller did.
Probably. Like, we would need to break up with Kelsey Plum and give people a reason to listen to the song.
Yeah. Like, all you have to do is be, like, terrible. Like, the more terrible you are, it seems like the more famous you become now. It's like the way the rap game works. It's like you kind of become famous as a joke.
Yeah, you got to be a cringe lord. Like,
yeah,
you got to really, I think, make people wonder what was going through your head, because that seems to work a lot better as more than good content these days. Bad can't look away. Car crash content.
Yeah, I also don't like know what we're rapping about these days.
The struggles.
The struggles of the Strohs.
Yeah, I guess so.
How they ruin our lives.
Don't do that. We're trying to manifest positive vibes. A positive vibe on Saturday, they're giving out Hawaiian shirts. But I wouldn't be caught dead in this Hawaiian shirt. I'm sorry.
Oh, is it bad?
It's not bad, but it's not good enough for me. I mean, the Hawaiian shirts that I put myself in credit card debt for are usually like $100, made like out of bamboo. They're fantastic.
Okay.
This, I don't know. It's a little too busy. A little too busy. I'm sure the quality isn't great because it's probably made by Fanatics.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can do it.
You also can't really choose your size.
Yeah, you know, because
always I think everything's like an extra large.
Yeah, and I hate that. Why is everything always extra large when they get these out there? Why, as a skinny person, am I always persecuted against? That's what I could rap about.
Oh,
the skinny man struggle.
Skinny man struggle.
You know, in a country of fatty boombatties, you know, I had to stay inside during COVID because everybody else had comorbidities.
I feel like you could rap about LinkedIn girl.
Why didn't she respond to my text? That sounds like emo, Blink 182 or something like that.
That's all right. We'll just like we'll speed it up a little bit. We'll like just right. Like I mean, emo and rap's like not that different. Like you just like change
the line.
Like you just change the pace up a little bit.
Yeah.
Most, like you could turn a Blink 182 song into a rap song.
That's probably true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Like there's like Eminem covers.
That's
of
what
like
I'll do.
There's like Eminem covers of Lose Yourself that are like metal now. So like it can go both ways. So LinkedIn girl.
Don't waste your time on me. I'm already the voice inside my head. Y'all mean for real.
Child, please.
Child, please. You know what? You know what? Child, please.
Child,
please.
The
babies. Trevor Lawrence, quarterback for the Jacksonville Jaguars, got paid yesterday. The deal, 5 years, $275 million total, $55 a year. $200 million is guaranteed. $142 million is fully guaranteed. I don't know what the hell that means, but it's a big deal. And people, whenever you see these contracts when they are first signed for quarterbacks, which continue to get bigger and bigger, people always push back immediately. And I've been intrigued by how specifically, Joe, people here in Houston have responded to that deal. Because I think a lot of people, we think that Trevor Lawrence isn't very good as a quarterback to the point where he is in the upper echelon. But we think he's good. At least you should think he's good.
Yeah.
And yet there's a lot of people that are clowning the Jaguars for giving out this deal. And
there's a lot of bias.
I can't. They've had some crap quarterbacks over the last decade. You know, he is better than them. He just overthrows people and fumbles too much.
Yeah, and the picks are pretty high. I mean, look, Trevor Lawrence is a... He's a good quarterback. If Trevor Lawrence was not anointed to be the next Andrew Luck, Peyton Manning, I think we also would view this contract a little bit differently. Like when you get put, and now Caleb Williams kind of falls into that in that category too.
Yep.
Where like when you get when they anoint you as the best prospect since Andrew Luck, then it really is. It puts you in a bad spotlight when things don't go well.
Yeah, you got a high bar that you got to meet. And
that's almost impossible to pass. Like, only C.J. Stroud has surpassed what Andrew Luck did in his rookie year.
What's interesting with C.J. Stroud, too, is those expectations were not necessarily on him going into his rookie season. With Bryce Young, they were on him, which is weird because he's my-sized. But Lawrence hasn't lived up to those expectations. It would have been tough to meet. Is Lawrence better than C.J. Stroud? I'm sure that some people in Jacksonville will make that argument. I'm sure some people nationally will make that argument. Pretty much no one is making that argument here. And I'm wondering if that's all due to bias or if that is just a fact.
I lean fact. You know, it's a three-year sample size versus a one-year. But Trevor Lawrence is 20-30. He has one playoff win in which he was a disaster for a half. And then a miracle worker in the second half. His best record on this as a starting quarterback in a season is 9-8. This last year he was 8-8 because he didn't play in every game. So he's never had a season two games above 500 as a quarterback. Yeah, you play for Jacksonville. Tough spot. Urban Meyer was your coach your rookie year. They made him pretend like he was in a quarterback competition with Gardner Minshew, even though they knew all along he was the starter. Tim Tebow was in camp with the Jags that offseason. Like, it was a total clown show. Urban Meyer might be the worst coach, one of the worst decisions in the history of the NFL. And they stuck that with Trevor Lawrence. And so, like, a lot of that is that. Like, you have bad quarterbacks all the time who are great prospects, and you go, why is this guy a bad quarterback? Well, his situation's terrible. The thing with Trevor is they've done a really concerted effort to make the team around him pretty good. Like, you look at their offseason the last couple of years, they've added good pieces on defense. They've drafted well on defense. In one offseason, they brought Christian Kirk. The next year, they brought in Calvin Ridley. This year, they take Brian Thomas Jr. out of LSU. Like they've added wide receivers. They have Travis Etienne, who's an elite running back, or at least pass-catching running back. So, like, there's pieces around him, but they just haven't had the booming success that people expect from Trevor. But, yeah, I think CJ is already a better quarterback than Trevor Lawrence.
I think he is, too. I think we look at Lawrence, and there are Justin Herbert-esque moments where you're really wowed because he is capable of some really incredible athletic things. But, you know, I go back to that game. Jaguars fans got pissy at me for when the Texans lost to the Jaguars. I said that Stroud was better than Lawrence, even though Lawrence had the better numbers. And I say that because Lawrence threw an interception and could have thrown two more if not for, one, a drop by Derek Stingley, and two, a shaky call on DeAndre Houston Carson in the end zone. And then on top of that, the numbers were better because his receivers were making fantastic catch and runs on passes that weren't very far downfield. So a lot of people got mad. They said, oh, the Jaguars won. That's all that matters, blah, blah, blah. And the Jags were 8-3 at that moment in time. And things went in the wrong direction for Trevor Lawrence and that Jaguars offense. To what you were saying earlier, they have given him support, but the offensive line is still something that is an excuse that's made for him, much like Urban Meyer is an excuse that's made for him. And Lawrence has lots of excuses made for him, and it's annoying, honestly. I mean, yeah, Christian Kirk was good. He got hurt last year. Everyone thought they overpaid for him. Actually was pretty good for them.
He's been pretty, pretty good.
But they moved on from Calvin Ridley, and we'll see if Brian Thomas is good. I don't know. I mean, he's a first-round pick wide receiver. Basically, I'm looking at Lawrence right now, and it's weird that he has as many excuses made for him, where someone like Dak Prescott doesn't get some of those same excuses. When Dak Prescott is criticized probably more than any quarterback in the game, and statistically, he was in the MVP race last year.
I mean, I think, and that's a great way to put it, because like he's about to get paid, right?
Yeah.
Probably $60 million a year is what they're thinking right now, is what the numbers that are floating out there for Dak. And the people who are defending Lawrence are going to crush the Dak deal. They're relatively the same quarterback. Like, it's the only difference is that one plays in Dallas and one plays in Jacksonville. Like, Trevor gets the ability to be in an irrelevant city that helps him.
It does, yeah.
It helps him so 100%. Much that they're not really on prime time, that they're not really out there, and they're not a focus of what people are doing. I mean, think about just like he threw three picks in the first half of that Chargers playoff game. Four picks, you're right. If they lose that game, people are clowning him all the time. But he was a miracle worker in the second half.
I don't think he was even a miracle worker. I think the Chargers just played so poorly in
that
game.
Yeah, they did.
And look, Lawrence played well the next game against the Kansas City Chiefs, but people looked at that as this, oh, wow, Lawrence got a short memory. No, Lawrence is careless out there. Lawrence has more fumbles than any quarterback, pretty much ever. And on top of that, the interceptions that he throws, not great. And occasionally he has these weird overthrows, and you can't really explain it. He just sails the ball a lot.
And the argument of, like, oh, his stats are better, they're 1-1 against each other. Well, here's the thing. Injuries don't often, to me, matter that much. Like, people get hurt. But that game goes to overtime. When Jacksonville goes to 8-3, that game goes to overtime if Matt Amendola is not your kicker. If Kyahmi Fairbairn is out there, he drills that kick, they go to overtime, and you never know what happens.
I have no idea what would have happened in that game. It was
game. It was a weird game. Like, that's the first time I saw C.J. Stroud play in person. And Trevor, you know, the Jags should have run away with that game.
Yeah, they had opportunities. I mean, there was a touchdown pass that they dropped.
Yeah, they had bad drops, but he had bad throws. So, like, maybe he is a victim of circumstance. But at some point, if you're an elite quarterback, you turn your team into a different level. And I think that criticism is fair of Trevor, of Justin Herbert. Like, those guys, like, yes, there's deficiencies on your team. But think back to last year. We're talking about C.J. Stroud. I'm producing the Killer Bees at the time. And I'm the only one on the show that is trying to make an argument that the Texans have the 31st worst wide receiver room in the NFL, not the 32nd. And I don't think Joel and Jeremy were that far off, honestly. Like, it was the Texans and it was the Panthers. C.J. Stroud has now got Nico Collins paid. Tank Dell is viewed as an elite number one wide receiver, or can be an elite number one wide receiver. Like, C.J. took what was a bad team
And he turned them around in one season.
Exactly. A great quarterback raises the play of the wide receivers around him. I witnessed that growing up with Tom Brady. Oh, my God, what a speech. Oh, my God.
It was so good.
But to not annoy you guys by being full masshole today, someone wants me to do a full segment in a Boston accent. No, I would never do that to you guys. You would not want to hear that. I would also cuss several times, and we would lose our FCC license. But a good quarterback's supposed to raise the level of talent around him. And Lawrence weirdly has excuses made for him not doing that. This contract makes sense for the Jaguars. I know a lot of people are dumping on them for that. The Jaguars can still scout every single year to potentially look for somebody else. And it's not like they are hamstrung with this one the same way the Cleveland Browns are with Deshaun Watson. But I feel like everyone should be in agreement that C.J. Stroud right now is better than Trevor Lawrence because of exactly what you just said, Joe. He elevates the level of play around him. You're right. Going into the year, everyone thought that was the worst skill group in the league, and what happened at the end of the season? Look at the numbers he put up. And by the way, they just added Stephon Diggs this offseason.
Well, and in the defense of Trevor, the contract makes sense. This is where the NFL is. There's no more negotiating, okay? If you are a good quarterback, even if you're not a great quarterback, you are going to get top-of-the-line money. The only person, I guess he's tied for Joe Burrow at 55 a year, this is where we are. If you're not Daniel Jones, you're going to get the next big contract. I think at some point an NFL team's going to, you know, get rid of that trend, and they're going to say, hey, we'll go back, we'll find a cheaper veteran quarterback, and we'll let Dak Prescott or Jordan Love or one of these guys walk. But this is just the way the business is done in the NFL now. You're good, you get the best deal. Even if you're not better than any of the guys that are above you, like, it's just, you hit free agency, your contract is ready to be extended at the right time, you're going to get a ton of money, and that's what happened to him.
He's Joe George, I'm Paul Gallant. Gallant and George, we are live at East River 9. Come out, hang out, we're going to be here all afternoon. Killer Bees are up next here. Getting packed in the River House, people eating lunch, there's lots of good food here. Lots of good food. Debating getting the crispy hot bird sandwich that they have here, or maybe something else. Anyway, up next, maybe it's a good thing that Houston no longer is in possession of the Oilers nickname. And we'll talk about some other rebrands that are happening in the world of sports that are pretty funny. Gallant and George at East River 9, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Come hang out with us. We're going to be here all day, eastriver9.com, if you want to register for a tea time. Someone asked on the text line who had a more easy schedule their rookie season, C.J. Stroud or Peyton Manning. I would venture off the top of my head that it was C.J. Stroud, because if I'm not mistaken, the Peyton Manning-led 1998 Indianapolis Colts with Jim Mora at the helm played in a division with four teams that made the playoffs.
Yes, sounds about right.
It was the old school AFC East. I think that was when the Jets finished 12-4. I want to say the Dolphins came in second. The Bills made the playoffs with Doug Flutie under center that year. And the Patriots made the playoffs at 9-7.
It still sounds just so weird as you're saying that they were in the AFC East.
Yeah.
I was six, so I don't have any real memory of that. But
and the next year, the Colts made the playoffs. They were 13-3, and they lost to the Titans in the first round of the playoffs. That was when my dislike of the Indianapolis Colts really began. I don't know why. So growing up in Massachusetts, I had no reason to dislike the Colts. But as somebody rooted for the Florida Gators, I suppose, that might have had something to do with it, given Florida, Tennessee. The Edmonton Oilers are a hockey team playing in the Stanley Cup Finals.
They are.
They are losing to a team in Florida.
They're
down 3-0, Joe. I don't know if you watched last night's game. I know you're a bigger hockey fan than I am.
Yeah, I watched a little bit here and there. I didn't have it on the whole time because this is like the NBA Finals. It's 3-0. Look, this sucks. We got two championships going on the right at the same time, and they're both going to be over by Sunday? That's a bummer.
It is a bummer because all we've got are the Astros who take out the
also a bummer
Detroit Tigers this season. So, look, the Oilers do have the best player in hockey in Connor McDavid, but perhaps that nickname is just a nickname that we should be glad Houston is rid of. Because, I mean, we associate the Houston Oilers with, yeah, love you blue and some cool uniforms, but a lot of choking.
Yeah.
While the Edmonton Oilers had a great history going back to the days of when they had Wayne Gretzky, the greatest hockey player ever, it's been rough for them ever since. So maybe it's good to have ditched that Oilers nickname.
I could see it. I mean, look, the Texans went over the Tennessee Oilers last year. Case Keenum led the charge.
Yeah. I mean, they lost to Case Keenum.
Like, so it's like, even when they wear it, it doesn't go well now. I think it is officially time where we can declare that it's no longer Canada sport hockey.
God, you lose. You get swept by a team in Florida. And I remember, Joe, when I was in high school, like the first time I really fell in love with hockey was when another Florida team, the Tampa Bay Lightning, beat the Calgary Flames in 7 games. I mean, Canada losing 2 Stanley Cups to Florida teams.
Do you know the last time someone from Canada won a cup?
I know it's the 90s. I don't
93.
Know.
93.
Damn.
That's crazy. Like, you have the Leafs and the Oilers and, like, these good teams and, like, teams that are having success. Vancouver, like, but, like, they can't sniff it. They get close, but 1993.
I mean, they don't even make the Stanley Cup Finals, these Canadian teams.
No. And, like, losing to teams from Florida is really embarrassing.
How do you do that?
Like, even though the players are probably half of them are Canadian, you're losing to teams in Florida. Where, like, people don't care.
Canadian teams have made the NHL Finals. They kind of do. They kind of do. The Stanley Cup Finals.
Yeah.
They've made them. But it's because they're all transplants from the Northeast. 94, 2011, 04, 06, 07, and 2021. And, I mean, they got, like, 8 or 9 teams. It's pretty embarrassing.
Yeah, it's very. So
it's now our sport.
It's now our sport.
So we own that.
We reclaim it.
We can't be the Canadians in hockey in meaningful games. But so we own hockey. And we own cricket because we beat Pakistan.
That's right, we did.
Yeah. We're taking all your sports, people.
Hey, what was once yours is ours now. Wait till the Olympics. Maybe we'll get a dub in rugby, take it from New Zealand.
That one would be tough.
That would be tough.
But again, that's one of those sports where it's the Olympics and, soccer and rugby. If we actually cared, we would take it.
Oh, my gosh. Can you imagine Tyreek Hill, the rugby player?
Does speed work in rugby to a point where...
It does.
I feel like it's a sport, though, where the spacing doesn't really lend itself to a guy just running by everybody the same way a wide receiver can run everybody.
Yeah, I mean, the best players would be your Kyle Hamiltons of the world. That's basically what rugby players are for the most part. They're safeties and fullbacks is what they are. So you could... We would dominate if we really cared, if we tried. Like, it would be... I mean, what was the Patriot? That played on the Olympic rugby team at like 37. Ebner? Nate Ebner?
Nate Ebner? I didn't know that.
Yeah, he played for Team USA for a little bit. So, yeah, we'll let you have it for now. One day we'll care.
There are some conference rebrands going on, much like the Houston football team rebranded.
Uh-huh.
Some people are mad that we're two foreigners talking about the Oilers. Hey, listen, we're just saying it's okay to have moved away from the nickname. It just sucks that the history is not associated with Houston.
The Oilers are going to finish in last place in their division this year. The Texans are going to finish in first.
Call them the Titans.
The Titans.
I'll call them the Titans.
I know.
But when they wear those Oilers uniforms, I hope that they lose again. The worst part is that the first time that they wore them, Will Levis looked like he is going to be a scary quarterback in the AFC South for a while. The Big 12 is reportedly going to change its name to the All-State Conference, while the Conference USA, which the Cougs were in not too long ago, go Cougs, is going to change potentially to the Globe Life Insurance Conference.
Yeah, this is...
I'm not surprised this is happening. I know some people don't like it, but, I mean, eventually I feel like the SEC and the Big Ten are going to be the ESPN and Fox conferences.
I agree. Also, this is how we're getting really close to paying college athletes. We're right on the cusp of it where, like, they're just going to have paychecks every week. This is how you do it. Like the Big 12 is going to get $1 billion investment from Allstate. To become the All-State Conference or the All-State 12, I think is what...
the All-State 12.
Even though there's 16 teams in the conference. So, like, it makes sense. It doesn't surprise me. I mean, we already do it with stadiums. And it's going to just grow. Like, they've added sponsorships now to the field in college athletics. They're doing that this year. So there's going to be big logos, you know, while you watch the Cougs. There's going to be, like, a big Mattress Mac logo, I'm sure.
I mean, there needs to be a Mattress Mac conference.
I mean, I don't see why not.
I feel like there's a bunch of Houston companies that would actually do pretty well if they made a conference and they were named after them.
Yeah.
The Highway Cantina Conference.
Be great.
Yeah.
Oh, we talked about this yesterday.
There'd be 9.75 teams there.
If there was 9 teams in a conference, the East River 9.
Ooh. Look at that.
I do think that I have one counter to your SEC is like the ESPN conference.
Yeah.
The Saudi group. The people that started Live Golf,
I wonder if they look at this as an opportunity to really get into, like, American sports and to somehow get, like, the naming rights to a conference.
The Saudi Aramco Pac-2.
Oh, yeah. There's only two teams.
I mean, that's the only conference that would probably be like, you know what, please, for the love of God, we need some money.
I mean, like, what if they offer, like, $5 billion to the SEC for naming rights?
I feel like the Southerners would say no.
It's the SEC.
Whether it's due to patriotism or racism or just a downright hate of the fact that they may have been involved in the biggest crime committed upon our country.
What if you could still call it the SEC, though? It just now instead
of the Saudi
the Saudi Eastern Conference instead of the
stop
or it could be like a lisp. It could be like the SEC. It's gonna be the Saudi Southeastern Conference. Okay. Just two S's.
Gosh,
this is where we're headed. There's one other one too that we didn't mention.
What's that?
Speaking of hockey, the Utah Hockey Club.
Oh, I forgot. They're
not doing a name year one.
They didn't do the Yeti like we wanted. We were out on the blizzard. There were a couple other nicknames that were thrown out there.
Utah Hockey Club.
Come on, guys.
It sounds like it's only for a year, though.
And then they're going to go to something else?
No, you got
to
keep it. I guess that's how you make a bunch of money.
What do you mean it's only going to be a year?
Like, they're saying it's not permanent. But, like, there was, like, a deadline they had to meet.
And they didn't meet the deadline, so they're just going to do this for the first year?
What it kind of sounds like.
Oh, wow. This sounds like such a great organization. No wonder the Coyotes ended up out of town. My God. I thought that they sold to people that weren't dummies. Why couldn't Houston get a hockey team? Ugh, annoying. He's Joe George. I'm Paul Gallant. Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5. And 92.5, we are live at East River 9. Up next, we're trying to manifest Astros positivity today. Did Dana Brown completely submarine any chance of that when he spoke on the Astros flagship? We'll talk about what he had to say next. Stick around.